Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm your host for tonight, DJ Coco. Usually I'm joined by DJ Star, but she is still off in Germany studying abroad, so unfortunately, not here for the next month in a bit, but I will be taking over for the next while. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm here every Tuesday, 6 to 7, and holy, it is a hot Tuesday. My God, it is hot. I was sweating on the way here, and I had all the windows open in my car because I refused to use AC. But I might have gave in and used AC at the very end because it was hot. So hopefully you've stayed out the sun today and had a lot of water, because I know that I've been very dehydrated today and I need to drink more water in general. And just before this show kind of premieres, I was listening to the previous show beforehand while I was prepping my songs and my notes. The Harbinger Showcase, which is from 5 to 6, and this is syndicated across Canada and now starting at CJSF2. And there was this section of it, I believe it's like it was a podcast within this showcase, so it was called the Seriously Wrong Podcast. And they were talking about this concept called urine therapy, and I had to stop my notes and listen to this because it was so strange, and I've never heard of this before. But apparently there's this alternative medicine called medieval Hatha Yoga, where people practice urine therapy, which is essentially people drinking their own urine. My mouth gaped because this sounds absolutely ridiculous right off the bat, because we pee to get rid of all the waste products from our body. I don't know why we'd want to consume them again. And of course, that would have a lot of bad effects for your body. And so I had to actually look this up because I thought I was going crazy that there were actually harmful effects of drinking your own pee. And of course, these people are a little crazy, and there are no benefits and scientific evidence for drinking your urine. They also have very interesting prepositions, like saying that you have to drink the middle of your stream urine and also drink it in the morning time. And they also use the word elixir instead of urine to make it sound better. But come on. So yeah, just to reiterate, do not drink your urine. You are drinking urea, your waste products, and your kidneys are exposed to these unnecessary toxins, and especially it can lead to kidney damage and electrolyte disturbances. And also, we pee to get rid of the salt in our body, so by drinking that again, we're drinking the salt all over again. So I don't think you would have ever considered it, but I can't believe there are people out there who do that. Anyways, little side topic. I got sidetracked 10 minutes ago listening to this. And I do have my own topic for today as well, which is more of a mini topic because I feel like it was very broad and I want to cover it again because researching this was a lot more difficult than I thought because it seems like everyone has a different definition for it. But I'll be diving into the topic of emotional intelligence. I'm probably going to go straight into it after one song because I really want to play this first one. So I'll play this one and I'll come right back on air. So this one is by an artist that I've been listening to for quite a while. Only a couple songs back in about 2020. It's very summerish vibes. And my best friend and I used to listen to a couple of his songs on repeat. And I didn't really listen to him ever again until, I believe, 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he released a new album called Dysphoria. So this one is my favorite from the album, and it's called Ipanema, in brackets, Kafun. I don't think I said that right, but I think it's Kafunmi, by the artist Nombe. So, not sure if you heard of him either, but hopefully you'll like it.
Boat out. Sure. Toss me a life jack. Try that again. One more time. What about my shades?
1 in 3 fatalities on our waterways is caused by impaired boating. Make the smart choice. Don't boat impaired.
We really should stay on the dock.
A message from Mad Canada.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, Campus Community Radio at Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm your host for the hour, DJ Coco. That last song you just heard, I just introduced it before, but might as well do it one more time because it's so great. That was Impanema by Nombe. Actually, pronounce that right this time because I just have an issue with pronouncing things on this show. It's just reoccurring every show at this point. But anyways, I was hoping to get into the mini topic for today and also add a little bit of background music, kind of more relaxing for you and me, because all my nerves always go crazy whenever I talk alone on Slumber Party, so this is to help me get my thoughts out here more concisely. But today we'll be talking about emotional intelligence, so I'm going to be kind of doing my take on this because there are so many definitions of emotional intelligence out there that's not all under one bracket, and so as I was saying, I'm going to probably do my own spin on this and do my personal term for what I think it is. So, what is emotional intelligence, you might ask? It's also known as EQ, so emotional quotient. It's kind of similar to IQ in a way, but emotionally. So, it is the ability to identify and manage your emotions and also understand the emotions of people around you. So this term was coined in 1990 by researchers John Meyer and Peter Salovey, which was later popularized by the psychologist Daniel Goleman. And 1990, that is pretty recent. So we've only had this term for about a couple decades at this point. So it's not very clear or concise what the guidelines for what emotional intelligence is and how to measure it, because it is a very subjective measurement. And emotional intelligence is commonly known in pop culture. I think it is a little misunderstood though, and that's why I kind of wanted to tackle it today, because I also have not a full understanding of what it is. So doing a little research to have out here, and it is a soft skill in life. So as I was saying, it's not very easily measurable, but it is a very high indicator of success. So pulled a couple of statistics, one from Harvard Business School back in 2019, and they say it accounts for 90% of what sets high performers apart from peers with similar knowledge or technical skills. And that also 71% of employers value emotional intelligence more than technical skills for reviewing job candidates, which is nice to hear, because maybe someone will be, there's always going to be someone smarter than you out there. But sometimes you can surpass people with more skills than you by just being in tune with yourself and being good socially. And so my take on emotional intelligence is that it seems to me that it's an overall combination of interpersonal skills and interpersonal skills. I did a topic a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago, diving into just specifically intrapersonal skills, but in my opinion, even though that online some people think that emotional intelligence is part of intrapersonal skills or part of interpersonal skills, I think that interpersonal skills and intrapersonal skills are both part of the massive cloud of emotional intelligence. Because emotional intelligence, yes, it is intrapersonal skills and interpersonal skills. Intra meaning kind of knowing yourself, and inter is communicating with others. But this is still very, very broad to have these skills, because within these skills, you still have self-awareness, motivation, conflict resolution, empathy, communication, emotional management, resilience, self-confidence. I could keep going. So it's all kind of integrated together into this cloud of emotional intelligence. And I'll go more into some of the characteristics of what I believe emotional intelligence is. So the first part, saying that it is intrapersonal skills. So more full definition, it is that it's the abilities that a person uses to understand and manage their own thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So these intrapersonal skills, they all encompass this kind of self-awareness. I think self-awareness is the biggest part of intrapersonal skills. And so this is essentially knowing yourself and the ability to perceive, understand, and know who you are as an individual. This is like your personality, what actions and behaviors you have, the values and beliefs you have, and the normal emotions and thoughts. It's also things like, oh, what am I good at? What am I good at doing? What am I bad at doing? What makes me mad? What makes me sad? And self-awareness is people commonly think that they have self-awareness, but most typically they don't. There was a study by Dr. Tasha Ehrich, a psychologist, and very popularized, research study. And she found that 95% of people think that they are self-aware, but truly only 10 to 15% are. So that is shocking. I think self-awareness is one of my strengths, but after hearing that, I think I'm going to reevaluate my own self-awareness skills. But anyways, so self-awareness is one part of intrapersonal skills, which is part of emotional intelligence. And so the second part, in intrapersonal skills, that I believe is big enough to encompass other traits, is emotional management. So this is kind of stemming from the sense of knowing yourself from self-awareness, like what emotions you feel and why, and perceiving. So essentially, it is the ability to regulate and manage your own emotions. So this can help with coping with conflict or being resilient through difficult events, and tackling negative thoughts. And so I think this emotional management is very interconnected with other things, such as it's like self-esteem, self-control, self-talk, self-reflection, because they all have the idea of emotions that come up. And it's your ability to take these emotions and either absorb some of the negative thoughts, or brush them away and know that they are just passing by. There are a lot of different traits within interpersonal skills, but yes, just to reiterate, this is your understanding of yourself and how you manage yourself. And this can influence into the behaviors you have to others as well. The second part of emotional intelligence, which I believe is a component, is interpersonal skills. So this is the abilities that one person uses to interact and communicate with others. And this encompasses things like social awareness, having empathy, and social skills. So just as intrapersonal skills had self-awareness as a major component. I believe that for interpersonal skills, social awareness is a large component. So this is the idea of recognizing other people's emotions, behaviors, and needs. And this uses multiple skills. So it uses empathy, which is the ability to see other perspectives and stories, which is all built from your intrapersonal skills and knowing yourself. And for example, how you would react in a certain situation, and you know that these are the emotions that come up when this happens. And so you can see them when it happens to another person. And from your sense of knowing yourself and your sense of awareness, self-awareness, you can build empathy. And empathy is a major component of social awareness, which is a major component of interpersonal skills and being able to get along with other people. And along with social awareness, it is the social skills too. So that is a step farther up where you can effectively communicate verbally, non-verbally, having good body language, looking at the person in the eye, active listening. And so emotional intelligence is one part, intrapersonal skills, so knowing yourself, and second part, interpersonal skills, which is being able to know others and get along with others. So this may all seem like it's up in the air, and very broad, so I wanted to also hone in and give some very specific characteristics of having emotional intelligence. So there are traits such as potentially you are very good with feedback, so you are open to being wrong, and you're not afraid. You have the courage to be wrong and the confidence to be wrong, and you can build and learn from your mistakes. You have the ability to apologize, note when the situation calls for it. So you can apologize sincerely, meaningfully. You're not trying to undermine the apology or gaslight the other person with your apology. And this is a tough one because some people think that, oh, apologizing is very submissive. But it actually requires having the maturity, the courage, and self-awareness to acknowledge your mistakes and admit to others. I was having this conversation of apologizing a couple days ago, and I see apologizing as a strength and high emotional intelligence when it is not overdone. I think there is a tendency for particularly girls to over-apologize in situations, which I suffer from majorly, where I just apologize for everything. And this is like opening the door and then you slip through and you accidentally cut someone off and you say sorry, or just in situations where it doesn't call for it. This kind of ties more into having lower self-confidence and lower self-esteem because you are trying to minimize yourself for someone else. And in this case, for having high emotional intelligence, it is the ability to apologize, to reiterate when the situation calls for it. Moving forward, we also have impulse control. So if you are someone who is able to control your impulses, such as wanting to say something mean or say something that you may regret, this is a sign of having high emotional intelligence because you can hold and manage your emotions back. You may be very empathetic, so you can understand how others are feeling emotionally. This requires both being self-aware and socially aware. We have adaptability to new situations, so you can work with others, many different team environments. And things like, yeah, dealing with conflict as well is a great trait to have and part of high emotional intelligence. And as you can still see, it is very broad. All of these traits are not something that everyone can have, and so there's not a perfect person with the highest level of emotional intelligence, but it's just like a scale, like regular intelligence quotient or the IQ. And there are also signs of having low emotional intelligence, or just having traits of low emotional intelligence, that maybe this will be more clear for you to understand. So maybe you've also seen this in a person or in yourself in your day-to-day, but this overall is just someone who can't accurately perceive the emotions of themselves and other people, and it's also hard for them to guide their behaviors appropriately. So you could see that externally they may have a lot of emotional outbursts, so they could lash reactively when something goes wrong, or they get overblown and uncontrollable, or they may be genuinely surprised when someone is upset at them and they don't really understand what they did to make them feel like that. Some other signs is in conversation that this person may dominate the conversation about themselves, and even do a tactic called one-upping, where every time, for example, you say something like, "Oh, mom, my sister is in the hospital," they'll be like, "Oh, well, my mom is in the hospital," and trying to one-up you and minimize your perspective to buff themselves. Others could be blaming others for their problems, and never actually taking responsibility of a mistake. They may have weak judgment of social situations, so this kind of goes into the adaptability from before, where they may not understand when to be appropriate in certain situations. So this could be telling a joke right after a funeral, or a heated argument, which is not necessary nor helps anyone. And this can also be taken with a grain of salt, because some people may have neurodevelopmental conditions such as autism spectrum disorder that may have them not realize what social cues there are, and may not be a sign of low emotional intelligence, but could be a comorbidity with something else. And the last thing, a sign of low emotional intelligence, could be always having to be right, which directly compares with the high EQ, is that, of course, they can't be wrong, and they blame others for their problem. And so, emotional intelligence is all-encompassing. I've used this word a lot, but I just want to summarize that it is getting to know yourself interpersonally before tackling social skills, which is interpersonally. So, in my opinion, I believe that you have to work on knowing yourself and what you are and what you want to do, what you're good at, what makes you tick, before you can work on your social skills and understanding others to a finer degree. Because there are people, there are maybe lots of people out there who are very good socially, but not very good with knowing themselves. And the foundation for having great social skills comes from internally. And so having all these traits, such as self-awareness, having high self-esteem, high self-confidence, and being able to regulate your own emotions, they all require a high insight of yourself to present yourself authentically to others. And such as knowing yourself lets you display confidence, which is admirable to other people, increasing your social